Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Almost like clockwork, riot season is upon us. You ever notice how cities lose their minds once winter is over? It's on in Minneapolis and cities all over America after 20-year-old Dante Wright is shot and killed by a white female cop. Facts don't matter. They never do. We all know Kim Potter put in 25 years as a decorated officer, became her department's union leader, raised a family, has a husband that's a police officer too, just so someday she could fulfill her racist fantasy to kill a black man. I mean, it had nothing to do with the perp having prior charges for illegal gun possession, resisting and fleeing arrest, drug charges, a warrant for aggravated battery, and an unregistered car. Or that he was actively fighting his arrest and considered dangerous to society while attempting to drive off again. Look, it was a terrible mistake by the officer, who was actually trying to tase him. But this kind of accident could never happen unless you're fighting with the cops. Fighting with the cops needs to be a higher crime. A sign posted at a McDonald's drive-thru asked customers, please be patient with the staff that showed up for work today because, quote, nobody wants to work anymore. There's something to this, and we're starting to see it everywhere. If the giveaways and handouts to not work continue, what are we all going to do? In sports, Shohei Ohtani is the most valuable player in baseball, and he's got two more games in Kansas City. The Angels drubbed the Royals 10-3, and Ohtani was the star. We'll explain why. And KU is feeling some left-on-left hate. The media are all over solidly liberal Kansas University for hiring a white man as the AD. We'll address whether this is fair criticism. It's brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, in Excelsior Springs. At Roberts Robinson, the customers say, we just make it easy. Ask for Mike or Tim on the showroom floor or shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com. The best way to get your favorite GM product right now is to build it yourself just like you like it. Yep, they'll do that for you at Roberts Robinson. I've done it and ordered a Chevy Blazer. You might be looking for a Silverado or GMC Sierra truck or any of the great Buick SUVs. They have great financing available right now and low prices on a 2020 sell-down event. A few 2020s are left, and they got to go at crazy low prices. There's also a cash allowance right now on 2021 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cabs at robertsrobinson.com or the showroom floor at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Bstock.net, the outlet store in Olathe, is, I'm getting some new TVs for my new place where we're going to live. I can't wait to go shopping, and Chris is going to help me out. He's going to walk through and look at the walls and tell me what size is right and find just the right TVs. They've got great customer service. I don't ever really talk about that much about Bstock. We talk about their low prices, which is what draws people in. You will not buy any televisions or electronics for less than anywhere, anywhere. Best Buy, they beat Best Buy and Rask Furniture Mart. They crush them all. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe or online at bstock.net. Online, they even have a make offer function right now. You can offer less than what it's priced on the internet and see if they'll take your offer. Give that a shot at bstock.net. But their service really is remarkable. The people that they have there really know these products. They have to know. Here's how you know they know these products. In order to buy these and get these, they have to get it right every time. Okay? They cannot afford at Bstock to bring in some inventory that isn't the best of the best. He absolutely knows this stuff inside and out. The entire operation does. You're going to love what they can teach you about. For example, they could charge you twice as much for a TV. If you're a gamer, it makes a big difference. If you're not a gamer, it doesn't make a big difference, and they'll save you hundreds. That's the kind of stuff they tell you. They're just really honest. Bstock.net in Olathe. And Elite Automation, make your building great again with Elite Automation, specializing in retrofitting HVAC control systems for maximum comfort and savings. Payback window is about 2 years. Most of the times, if you put in a custom designed system for your building, your office building, your warehouse, your church, your school, it's going to save you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars as you go down the road. They'll even give you 12 months cloud hosting free if you mention KKHI online at eliteautomate.com. That's eliteautomate.com or call 766-2188 and make your building great again. All right, here we go. It's riot season in America. We will, because the facts are important, we will discuss the facts right now on KKHI. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
So we've got a couple of big stories going on here this week in the United States. as all heck has broken loose in the Minneapolis area again after the shooting death of Dante Wright, a 20-year-old man in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, at the hands of a female police officer, Kim Potter, a decorated former union leader and honored officer, 25 years on the job. Sounds like mistakenly grabbed her gun instead of the taser and shot the man. We'll get into the details in a moment. We also have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, according to the CDC, on hold in the United States now. On hold, one of the vaccines has, we've learned, produced blood clots, mainly in females, aged about 18 to 50. And it's not a huge number, but the similarities are eerie. So the same thing has happened in several women. It's the results, the clotting has been an identical kind of blood clotting. So they've halted this thing. And my initial reaction to that would be the skeptic in me is like, okay, why do I believe the CDC again? Because they've been wrong so many times. But in this case, when something is an unknown, I think you take the precautionary step and say, let's just pause the Johnson & Johnson vaccine until we know more. So we could talk a little bit more about that later on, as I don't want to COVID this thing up or vaccine this thing up today. I also don't want to spend a great deal of time on this ridiculous rioting in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, and in cities all over the country. They're doing it in Kansas City and a lot of other places. And I wonder if this is now the police case, the officer-involved shooting, if this is the case where it finally separates pretty much everyone, once and for all, just separates everyone in America, and we all just become closed-minded on these things. We've all made up our mind. That you either live in a world that believes that white cops every day are running around looking for black people to kill, or if you live in a world where you say, let's take a look at the facts, see what happened here, and try to figure out why this happened. And that's what I choose to do, and I think it's what many of you choose to do. And every single time, I've had many of you text me or email me, every single time one of these comes up, it goes back to the old science class. For every action, there is a reaction. So immediately, what do we get from the mom? We get from the mother of Dante Wright that her son was shot, quote, for no reason, unquote. And that's not accurate. That simply is not right. He was not shot for no reason. It was accidental. That doesn't mean he was shot for no reason. There were about 50 things in Dante Wright's life that he could have done. Any one of them that he'd done differently, he wouldn't have been shot. For every action, there's a reaction. He put himself in a very dangerous situation. He did this to himself. Before we start talking about the left allowing the rioting and Joe Biden is going to investigate, we're going to make all these moves to find out what happened. I think this might be the one that where the worm turns. First of all, it's a female officer. That should not matter, but it does. When people form opinions, they base them a lot of times, well, certainly the rioters never base their opinions of these things off the facts. Never. In the case of George Floyd, which was hideous and looked terrible, for Derek Chauvin to do what he did, and I think he's going to get convicted of manslaughter, and I think he was a bad cop that day. I do. But I also can't say that I wouldn't have done something similar. If I'd already been thrown around by a man much bigger than me, if I had been fighting this guy, hepped up on drugs, who was adrenaline rushing, took three cops to restrain him, got him into the car, he started hurting himself, bloodied his own nose, banging his head against the seats and stuff, and screaming that he's claustrophobic and he wants out and he's making a scene and everybody's watching, and you put him out on the sidewalk, I don't know the adrenaline in my body. I don't know how mad I am. I don't know what would have happened. I can't put myself in Chauvin's position. All I know is if George Floyd hadn't taken drugs, hadn't passed along counterfeit bills, and more importantly, hadn't resisted arrest, he would never have had a knee on his neck and his shoulder blade. That never would have happened. If George Floyd hadn't done those things, he never would have been cuffed and laid on the ground the way he was. I don't know how he died. We'll leave it up to the court. Whether it was the knee on the neck, whether it was a drug overdose, we'll leave that up to the court to figure that out. I know this. George Floyd made bad decisions that put him in a situation that led to an officer with a knee on his shoulder blade and neck. And I can't look at any of these things in any other way. Look, you wake up in the morning and you go live your life. If you're a police officer, All you want to do is do right by people, serve the public, and get home alive for your family. That's what you want to do. Okay? And you see people every day who get up every day and start doing bad things, and it's your job to deal with these people that are doing bad things. And I'm sorry, there is almost never, I mean, look, the outrage over Dante Wright already is 10 times the outrage of the two officers that were basically executed in Los Angeles. Do you remember this last year? Remember the officers that were sitting in their car just on patrol and the gang member walked up and shot them both in the face? Do you remember that? No outrage in comparison to Dante Wright. None. So clearly these professional rioters and the race baiters and the race profiteers out there have turned this into their own economy. We've seen I'm not going to spend a great deal of time today on the BLM co-founder that has bought millions of dollars worth of real estate for herself, or Rashida Tlaib, who's out there saying, you know, this was not an accident, that it's systemic, that apparently after 25 years on the job, Kim Potter fulfilled her lifelong dream as a white cop to kill a black person. After 25 years on the job, racist Kim Potter, a former union president, a decorated female officer, just decided, today is the day. I'm going to fulfill my racist dream after 25 years. I'm going to find a black guy. I'm going to kill him. Here it is. He's resisting arrest. Bang! I finally got one. I finally killed a black dude because I'm racist and I wake up every day trying to kill a black person. This is all so absurd and so twisted. And there's never any outrage when police get shot. Very rarely. Only in the case of the Capitol Police, where the Democrats could turn that into politics. They're so bad for America. What they are doing is so wrong and so twisted and so sick. And they're not going to stop the riots. We've already seen the city manager fired. The city manager of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota said, let's get some due process here. Let's just wait and see what happened. Oh, no. The mayor fired him. That's it. We can't have due process. What we can have is looting and rioting and burning and stealing and just go let all hell break loose. Because this is wrong. Here are the facts of what happened, because I think this is the one where the people that do pay attention will say, okay, yeah, we're drawing a line. Some people are going to bury their head in the sand and say, anytime a white officer shoots a black person, that it's systemic racism, and we don't care what the facts are. And other people are going to say, wow, every time I look at the facts of one of these cases, it's completely different than the way it's portrayed. And that's where I am. I waited a day. I didn't do this yesterday. I wanted to gather as many facts as I possibly could and see what the heck happened here. And when you do it, it's the same thing. For every action, there's a reaction. So I've told you about the decorated officer, 25 years on the job. She's a woman. Again, it shouldn't matter, but it does. People will look at this and say, because this is pretty much on them. This is on the left, the race baiters. The racial justice warriors, the people who are profiteering off of race, this is somewhat on them because they've portrayed this as white men that are racist. They've never really said white women are racist. I think there's a feeling among these professional race hustlers that white women are on their side, that there's a lot of Karens in the suburbs voting for Democrats because they feel better about themselves, that somehow they're helping black people by electing Democrats, which actually is false. But they believe that, and the numbers show that. More white women vote Democrat than white men. So now they've got a white woman, and they're painting her as racist, right? I mean, this is a racist incident. That's what this is about. Systemic racism, police brutality, white on black. There are no statistics, by the way, that back any of this up. There is nothing anywhere out of the ordinary that suggests white officers kill black people at a higher rate or that this is a problem in America. None. They're almost always relatively isolated incidents. There are very few of these things that happen a year. They just get all the attention. So now it's a white woman. They're going to make her a racist? Here's Dante Wright's background. It's tragic. 20 years old, high school dropout, has a 2-year-old son. He had an outstanding warrant on him. He had expired registration on his car. He struggled with the cops as they cuffed him. He resisted arrest. He evaded the handcuffs. He got into his car. They hollered, taser, taser, taser. and she went to tase him and pulled her gun out and shot him. He drove away, and she said she can be heard on the body cam saying, "Holy shit, I shot him." Like, she immediately knew she had screwed up. He drives a few blocks. He crashes his car. His girlfriend gets hurt. He dies. Giant mistake. Why did the giant mistake happen? And do people make mistakes on jobs? What if you had a job where you thought your life was in danger? Would you be more likely to make a mistake? Again, he struggled. He resisted arrest. He evaded getting handcuffs put on him. He got into his car and drove off. Here's what they knew about him when they pulled him over. There was an outstanding warrant for him. Bring him in. He's got expired tags. He had previously fled officers with a gun without a permit in June. This all comes up on their screen. When they run the tags, it all comes up on their screen. He was arrested in February, just in February, of aggravated robbery, and was released. 2019, marijuana arrest. His mom says he was shot, quote, for no reason, unquote. That's not true. He claimed he was being pulled over. He called his mom when the sirens came on or the lights came on. He said, "I'm being pulled over for having air fresheners on my rearview mirror," which, this is weird. In Minnesota, it is against the law to have them. You can get pulled over for air fresheners on your rearview mirror. That is not why they pulled him over. That may be why they ran his tags. I don't know why they ran his tags. But they knew all this about him. They knew that he had a gun charge. They knew that he'd resisted arrest. They knew that he'd previously fled officers. He had to be considered dangerous. If he previously fled officers in February or last year with a gun without a permit, he had to be considered very dangerous. Now you're approaching a suspect that is dangerous. Now he's resisting arrest. Now he's fighting you. Now you can't get the cuffs on him, and he's getting in his car. You go to tase him. You taser's what? Down below? Is it below the gun? The gun's on the waist. The taser's down on the thigh? I think is the case. You grab your gun, not your taser. The second you shoot him, "Holy shit, I shot him." She freaked out. She freaked out. Why did she freak out? It's not because she wasn't experienced, 25 years on the job. She clearly was scared. Adrenaline was pumping. You got somebody that may be pulling a gun at any moment to shoot you. You don't know. You don't know. You know you have somebody that's dangerous, has a record, has a warrant, is wanted, and they're fighting you. Again, the important part of all these things is don't fight the cops. Don't resist arrest. Don't do it every single time. What is the commonality in all of these incidents? It's somebody fighting the cops. Every one of these cases, Michael Brown, you just on and on and on, every one of them, they're fighting the cops. Don't fight the cops. Let them cuff you, take you to jail. If you didn't do anything wrong, your lawyer or one that the court appoints for you will get you off. If you didn't commit a crime, if this is random racism, it's just white cops running around to bust black people, you're not going to convict these black people, right? He didn't get convicted. He was released in February after aggravated robbery. He was released and still had an outstanding warrant from a couple of months earlier. This is all insanity. Why was he fighting the cops? Why was he trying to run away from them? He didn't want to go to jail because he's going to get convicted on these charges. Criminals do crazy things when facing a conviction. And if you're a cop, and this woman, Kim Potter, her husband is an officer as well, not in the same police department, but in Minneapolis. They've raised kids, they're grown. They've been cops their whole lives. They've been through situations like this before. All they've done is try to do for the greater good for the community and have very dangerous jobs. They just want to get home at night alive. I'm sorry, you do. We need to make, what needs to come of all this, if this is all going to lead to rioting, what needs to come of all this, resisting arrest needs to become a real crime. Like something that will really, really punish you. And I know jails are getting full, so long sentences maybe won't work, all that stuff. Maybe it's massive fines. Maybe it's mandatory stays of some sort. If you resist arrest, we need to start thinking of this as a much higher crime than it is. See, like you and I getting into it on a street corner and having a scuffle is assault or battery or whatever they charge us with, right? If you and I got into it, that's one thing. If I get into it with a cop, shouldn't that be like five times worse? I think it should be five times worse. If I'm taking swings at a cop and I'm busted away and they're not getting me cuffed and I'm getting in my car and I'm driving away, that should be a real crime. That's a lawless society. If we let those people go, which they clearly have, and he's gotten away with stuff, and everybody's trying, shouldn't it be well known that the last thing you ever want to do is resist a cop? Because here's the problem. You can get hurt. You can die. It's pretty obvious. And that's not working as a deterrent from fighting with the cops. These race peddlers and CNN and all these media outlets that are running around making money off racism, so-called racism in America, that are running around doing this, they're causing this. They are fostering a school of thought among African Americans that the cops are out to get you. There are no statistics that prove that. None. Anywhere. It doesn't exist. It's fake news. It is not true. The numbers all back it up. It is not true. And Kim Potter, after 25 years on the job, didn't say, today's the day. I've been a racist for 25 years, and I'm part of this racist police department here in Brooklyn Center, and I'm going to get, next time, if today's the day that a black man resists my arrest, I'm going to kill him. No. That's what you're implying when you riot and you say that's what this is. This is insane. This guy had all kinds of priors, including guns that he had no permit for, aggravated robbery, fleeing police officers, expired tags, outstanding warrant for his arrest. You name it, he had it all. And what does he do? He starts fighting the cops. A terrible thing happened. She made a bad mistake. Maybe she should lose her job and not be a cop anymore. I think that's reasonable. I think it's reasonable. Can you put yourself in her spot and say that you would have done any better or that you've never made a mistake at work? We all make mistakes at work. Okay? These are life and death mistakes. Why? Because he's fighting her. She wasn't fighting him. They wanted to cuff him and take him in, which is their job. There was an outstanding warrant. Cuff the man, bring him in. If he takes the cuffs and he goes in, this never happens. You cannot say this happened for no reason. You cannot say it was racism. It is not accurate. He's resisting arrest. He's wanted on a warrant, and he's got all kinds. He's got drugs. He's got guns. He's got fighting police officers. He's got fleeing the scene, all on the computer screen in their car. Yes, he looked like a teenager. He looked very young. It's tragic. He had a two-year-old boy. But this guy was 20, and you can't make that many mistakes in your life. We all get mistakes. You can't have this repeated pattern of bad behavior and mistakes in your life and expect your life to work out. Dropped out of high school, had a baby, all these charges. This young guy was never going to be a success at anything. He was going down the wrong path, clearly. And it's a shame because, we all see an age where young men mature a little bit and they become better. For some people, that's 23. For some, it's 27. But usually, young men make a lot of mistakes in their teens and early 20s. But not like this. Not these kind of mistakes. Not gun charges. Not aggravated robbery. Not fighting with police officers or fleeing them or having outstanding warrants. Not this much stuff. And so they knew. And when they pull over and the officers are walking up, their hearts are thumping. The adrenaline's flowing. They know they have somebody dangerous. There could be a gun in there. He's had guns before. He's gotten away with it. The system has allowed him to just be free, to do all these things. It's allowed him to be free. Today's the day he needs to be cuffed and brought in and put into the system and punished. Prosecuted, convicted, and punished on these charges. That was their job. We have someone on the streets that's dangerous. We need to bring him in, put him into the system, and let him get prosecuted and convicted. Pay their sentence, their punishment, however many months or whatever it is in jail for these crimes. Try to learn a lesson, straighten your life out. We'll give you another chance to be a productive member of society. But today is not your day. to get a chance to be a productive member of society. You've committed all these crimes. You've fought with officers before. You've fled the scene. You've had guns without permits. You've got aggravated robbery. You have drug charges. You've done it all. You've checked every box there is except murder or rape, a sex crime. You can't be more dangerous than that. Get him in, lock him up. Let's figure out what to do with him. Oh no, he's got other plans. He's going to fight. He's going to fight you because he thinks you pulled him over because he has air fresheners hanging from his mirror. Honest to God, that's what he thought. He thought, I'm black and I'm getting pulled over because I have air fresheners hanging from my rearview mirror. This is what he thought. He called his mom when they're pulling him over. His girlfriend's in the car. They're pulling me over because of my air fresheners. No, Dante, that's not why they're pulling you over. They may have run your plate because you're air fresheners. Right? They may have seen something, said, let's run this, then run the plate. Then what happens? Oh, you're not a registered driver. Your car's not registered. Oh, there's an outstanding warrant for you. Uh-oh, look at all these things that popped up on the screen. Lights and sirens, pull him over. Let's get him. Let's cuff him. Let's take him in. Oh, but he had other ideas. He was going to be a hero. He was going to show off in front of his girlfriend. These cops are racist. They're pulling us over because of air fresheners. Watch me get out of these handcuffs, get into the car, and drive away. Watch me do this. That's not getting killed for no reason. It was an accident. It's a terrible accident. The cop panicked or freaked out or made a giant mistake. But it wasn't systemic racism, for God's sake. I'm so utterly tired of all of this stuff. I mean, she screamed right away on her body cam. Holy shit, I shot him. Like, what the hell did I just do? That's just panicking. But there's only one reason Officer Potter panicked and made a mistake. There's only one reason. And that was the actions of Dante Wright. For every action, there's a reaction. It doesn't mean the reaction's going to be perfect. Okay? In this case, the reaction was a horrible mistake. But nobody else is going to say this, all right? I'm the only person who's going to say this. Let's just be completely honest. These things happen because these bad people that are on drugs or criminals or have done whatever, it happens because they bring it on themselves. They bring a fight. If you bring a fight with a cop on yourself, all bets are off. I'm sorry, I live that way. If I get pulled over and I want to start punching a cop or fighting with him, I figure all bets are off. The best I'm going to hope for is that I just get tased. All right? But anything can happen. Anything. Especially if I'm on drugs. I could have a heart attack. Or especially if I try to drive off. I could wreck. They could tase me while I'm behind the wheel and I could smash into a pole. Who knows? Anything can happen. All bets are off. You fight with the cops, you're risking your own life. That's it. That's the bottom line. And anybody that cannot accept that doesn't understand anything about a good law-abiding society to protect the 99.9% of people out there that are good people. And that's what law enforcement's about. It's not about the bad people. It's about protecting the good people from the bad people. That's what law enforcement is. And that's what was taking place here. And this was a terrible mistake. And I think she's going to lose her job. And you know what? She's got 25 years on the job. She's going to have a nice pension. Good for her. She has served her, but come on, some sort of, you know, manslaughter or murder charge in this one, outrageous. She made a horrible mistake. The mistake happened because of Dante Wright's actions. Period. End of statement. The mom says he was shot for no reason. He was fighting with cops. We are brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction, available 24/7 for emergencies. You can sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. I think next week is the week that Ron starts on my roof at the new house we're building. I can't wait to see the great work. They will take care of my property and give me the greatest roof I've ever had. They're just so good at what they do. Ron's off, and I mentioned that TJ is starting to use him now over at Back 9 Development with all the homes he's building and condos and commercial projects that back9development.com uses. Buck Roofing's their exclusive roofer now, and it's a good reason for it. Ron Buck is the best in the business. Online at rbuckroofing.com. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations around the area. I was commenting to my wife this weekend. We went and had lunch with friends on Sunday, about 11:30, near Olathe Northwest High School. Right across the street from Olathe Northwest is Fry Orthodontics. There's a junior high there. There's a high school. And I'm like, hey, that's pretty smart business there. Jeremy Fry's a pretty smart guy. He's got a Fry Ortho right across the street from the schools. That's perfect. So when your kids are getting braces or Invisalign, the visits are easy. They're right there. They're convenient. It saves time. You get them back in school. Life is good. And right now it's even better at Fry Orthodontics, where it's free retainers for life. That's like hundreds of dollars every time your teenager loses a retainer or breaks one or whatever. Free retainers for life at Fry Orthodontics. That alone is a reason to do it. The care that your child will receive is the best reason. And their beautiful smile and confidence for life is the number one reason. At Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th in Antioch. It is Mother's Day very soon, and you need to get in there for your mom or the mother of your children and get her something sparkly and fun for Mother's Day at Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th in Antioch in Overland Park, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. So just to wrap up what we were previously talking about, I said I don't want to spend any time on Rashida Tlaib or whatever the heck her name is saying this was not an accident and we should never have any police, or the Black Lives Matter leader buying millions of dollars worth of real estate. These are just profiteers. There is an unbelievable industry. An easy way to make money is to just go make money off racism or what you call racism. It's so easy because people so badly don't want to be racist or don't want to be labeled as racist. They will just support you blindly. They'll just, Black Lives Matter, we know they're Marxists. We know what they are. They're a political organization. They're not good. Okay, Marxists, they have a lot of Marxist theories in what they do. That's what they are. That's really their agenda. It's not racism. They're using that to get people in to just give us money and we'll go do our political agenda over here. And people blindly give them money because they think, you know what, if I send them $100, I'm not a racist. It's unbelievably powerful. White people are completely snookered by this entire deal. A lot of white people, not just a few, a lot. Millions of white Americans will do anything. They'll pay money, they'll march, they'll make a sign, they'll vote for a candidate, they'll do anything, anything, as long as you don't think I'm a racist. It's powerful politically. It is remarkably powerful politically. And it's also hurtful and harmful to the quality of life and the way of life for Black Americans. It's also insulting. I think it's not reverse racism. It is just flat racism to think that Black people can't achieve on their own, that they can't get an ID to go vote, for example, or something. It's just so racist and condescending and awful. But the Rashida Tlaibs and the leader of Black Lives Matter and other people, the Reverend Al and whoever's running around now, the people that you see on your news conferences, I'm not going to spend any time on these people on this podcast. They're awful. They're the lowest of the low in the United States. They're profiting off violence and chaos. They're profiteering from rioting. They're race baiters. They're racist themselves. They're just cashing in. The only compliment I can give any of them is they're capitalists. I like capitalism. I like capitalism. They are capitalists to the max. But profiteering off of this crap is embarrassing. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those people. If you wonder over the coming weeks why I don't get on Tlaib more, the BLM leader and the houses they're buying and all this stuff they're doing, we know what they are. I'm just repeating myself at that point. We know what they are. They're profiteers. They're cashing in off of supposed racism. Mostly they're cashing in off of riots, violence, lies, and bad policy. At the top, we mentioned the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The CDC has pulled it off the shelves in the United States. What happened was there's a small number of women, but what's happened with those women is identical, and it has to do with a blood clot of the blood coming out of your brain. And so it sounds like it's incredibly dangerous for those that it has happened to, and while it is a very small number, and the vaccine to this point has almost overwhelmingly proved to be safe. I don't want to badmouth the vaccine. I understand why they're doing this. When you have a certain number of people that the identical thing happened to, you better pause and say, okay, what's going on here? And they say it's very similar to a vaccine in Europe by AstraZeneca. It's the same thing. It's a blood clot coming out of the brain. And an AstraZeneca vaccine in Europe has not been approved in America. And they've had a lot of the same results with blood clots. So it's the pause button for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I think that's reasonable. There are other vaccines that have not had this problem, so let's administer those. This seems reasonable. I'm not telling people, don't get a vaccine. I'm not telling people to get a vaccine. You know what this podcast is about. It's about individual freedoms and liberties. You can get it if you want. I'm not getting it right now. I have no reason to get it. I've had COVID-19. I'm not afraid of the disease. I'm not going to infect anyone else. I believe I have antibodies. And so I'm not getting it right now. If another strain comes around, if we have another crazy pandemic and millions of people start dying or whatever, and the first round, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm never getting it. I'm not an anti-vaccine guy. I'm not. I'm just right now, I just don't need to get it. I just don't need to go get it. I'm good. That's my choice. Your choice, my mom's choice, was to get it as fast as she could. And I think she made the right choice for her, and I made the right choice for me, and that's as American as it gets. But I do think this is reasonable. As much as I don't want to believe or trust the CDC, because I think the worst thing that's happened, our confidence in our federal government has, since Barack Obama was elected to president in 2008, our confidence in this country has just disappeared. I mean, we know now that a whole bunch of left-wing people are running the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the military. What kind of confidence do you have if we got in a real conflict with another country that we'd make the right decisions? We're not even keeping terrorists out of our own country. This is a real problem. As this border thing continues, we can sit here and talk about, you know, they actually, I think, want us to talk about the voting scam that's going on. You know, bring illegals in, give them amnesty, let them vote for Democrats so the Democrats have control, because they don't really want anybody talking about the most obvious thing, and that is, terrorists can just walk right in, and they will. And they will come from the Middle East, and they will come from bad places, and they will come from drug cartels, and it's going to lead to drug trafficking, sex trafficking, more crime, and potentially terrorism. We had done a pretty good crackdown in this country on terror cells, especially Islamic extremists. We've done a pretty good job over the last few years. It's gone. It's toast. This is going to, there's no way. There's just no way. They've got an open, they got a giant neon sign that says open border. Come on in. And what the Democrats don't want you to know or remember is a lot of the world still hates us. They want to hurt us. So we're creating these problems and we're doing these things at the border. And it's absolutely maddening. It really truly is maddening that what we're allowing in and what could potentially happen. Terrorism is real because if crazy enough people come in that don't mind losing their own lives, that means hundreds, if not thousands of Americans lose theirs. If one person is willing to die for extremism, they can take out hundreds, if not thousands. It's really a bad, bad situation that we're in. And maybe we need to keep our eye on that part of the border problem and not the voting part so much. Maybe. They paint us as racist. You know, if you say, oh, they're importing votes, they're doing is letting illegals in so they can give them amnesty and get all these votes for the Democrats. That's what they're doing. It has nothing to do with humanitarianism because it's inhumane for these people to make this journey. You have girls just getting raped repeatedly over and over and over on the journey. Okay. They're going to come to America and maybe they'll have a better financial life. But after you've been raped or gang raped for a month, what is your mental state of mind the rest of your life? Is your life really better because you're in America? Maybe you have a few more bucks and a nicer place to sleep than if you stayed with your parents and lived around a loving family and had it poor, but you never got raped or gang raped or repeatedly raped for a month. What's your better future? I don't know, but I'm sure there's plenty of psychiatrists out there that will tell you that the ill effects of this journey are far more serious and complicated to deal with the rest of your life than some of the other issues that you may have had. It's an absolute shame what's going on at the border. Okay, so I'm reading the story, and I thought this was kind of cute. There's a McDonald's. I think it was in Ohio. It's a McDonald's. They had a sign at the drive-thru. It was printed out off of a regular printer. And it said, please be patient with our staff that came to work today. We appreciate them very much. It seems nobody wants to work anymore. McDonald's is short-staffed. They put a sign up at the drive-thru that says nobody wants to work anymore. This is a real thing. You know, when I watch these riots, when I see all this stuff happening, I'm thinking, how many people don't work every day now? It's just checks are coming in. The government's got it under control. They're going to send you money. We're definitely creating a lazy culture. There is no question. And COVID multiplied that by 10 because it gave everyone a reason to stay home and not work. Everyone. Or work from home and work less than they did before. So that's a clever sign. It's cute. I appreciate that McDonald's did that. It was not tongue-in-cheek. It was serious. I think the owner of that McDonald's is saying, I can't find people to work. Nobody wants to work anymore. And I think that's right. Now, the wages are going up. If you're 16, 18 years old, working at McDonald's is pretty good go right now. They're paying pretty well. There's plenty of jobs at Walmart and places like that, even for teenagers where you can make $17 an hour. We're talking about raising the minimum wage. There are jobs everywhere at $17 to $20 an hour for anybody that wants to go get them. They're everywhere. And so I'm reading this thing, and I thought, well, I just had two interesting conversations the last couple of weeks. So I got a couple of prospective sponsors. I've talked about expanding the podcast and bringing in more sponsors. So we're kind of sorting through that and talking to some people about bringing some new sponsors in. And I want to make sure, obviously, that they're conservative businesses and people that I can send you to. And these both are. And I'm going to mention their companies, but not their names, because they both told me the same thing. So I'm speaking with a guy I've known. I haven't talked to him in years. We're not close friends, but I've known him for a long time. And his company is AmazingGarageFloors.net. They do the really cool garage flooring. One of the greatest things you can ever do at your house. Like most things at your house is, most of the stuff we're doing in our house is for my wife. You know, like countertops are important. What color's this? You know, oh God, the mundane things. Like I really don't care. I just don't. And so, but it's all for her and she likes it and she's taking great pride in it. And I love that about her and I'm happy for her that she's doing that. There's just not a lot of things at the house that are that important to me. My television downstairs to watch football is very important. My outdoor living space is important to me. You know, I got to have soundproofing in a room to do a podcast so that there are important things to me in the house, but most things are hers. That garage floor, he's doing my garage floor. Okay. AmazingGarageFloors.net is going to do my garage floor. I haven't got it set up for when and what. There's no if to this. All my buddies have gotten it done. And it is, especially in the winter, it's the greatest thing ever because you come in with the salt and sand and all that crap and the ice and snow and it melts in your garage. And now you get a total mess. Easy rinse. Just goes right off and it's brand new. The one in my last house I had for over 10 years, it still was brand new. I mean, brand new. It was like this thing. You looked at it and thought, that could have been put on last week. So the product's amazing. He says, man, I'm busy. You know, a lot of houses are being built. He's like, I want to advertise on your podcast, but I really don't need a whole lot more work because the phone's ringing. He said, my problem right now is I can't find people to work. He said, I got my crews, but I'd expand. I'd like another crew. I'd do even more jobs. I can't find people that want to work. I can't find people that want to work. Same problem as McDonald's. That's nuts. I'm talking with the owner of JT's Steak and Seafood in Harrisonville yesterday. Thinking about doing an event out there. I haven't been there. We're going to go this weekend. I understand their steaks are all world. And it's a destination steakhouse in Harrisonville. If JT's Steak and Seafood is a destination steakhouse in Harrisonville, count me in. I'm going. I'm going to go try it. So I'll go out there this weekend. I'll let you know. But we're talking to him about possibly coming on the podcast and doing whatever. And he says, we're just working our people really hard right now because I can't get enough help in here. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, we're not even doing lunch right now on Saturdays because I can't open until 4. I need my cooks there and all my kitchen staff. We got to prepare all these steaks. You know, there's a lot of prep before they open with steak and seafood. He said, I'm working the people in the kitchen such long hours. I got to close for lunch on Saturdays because I don't have enough kitchen help. I can't find good chefs or kitchen help. What I've got, I just have to reduce my hours because it's quality control. The steak and the seafood has to be right. It has to be excellent. So he shortened his hours because he can't find enough qualified staff to work in his kitchen. And so we're hearing this over and over and over in all these places. And then I go back to the McDonald's sign. The McDonald's sign says nobody wants to work anymore. I thought, well, that's an interesting concept. And I had these two stories from the last couple of weeks talking to these prospective sponsors. And then I read the story today about the Ford and the GM plants that are closed down in Kansas City. They're closed down because there's no microchips, right? The semiconductor things. There's no microchips. They can't put the computer chip in the car. So they've been shut down. One plant's been shut down since February. 7,250 Ford workers are not working. Many, many more at the GM plant at Fairfax aren't working right now either. It's on hold because they don't have the parts to build the cars. They can't put the computer chip in there. It's one of the big reasons why I told you I ordered a Chevy Blazer from Roberts Robinson. It's one of the reasons I ordered it. There's a shortage of Blazers out there. There aren't very many out there. He could have brought one in from another dealer, but you know what? That's not what he does. That's not as good for him. I want to support the dealership. They're a great sponsor of the program. I said, let's just order from the factory. He said, great. Because when you order it, you get moved up front anyway. As soon as the chips are in, they're going to start cranking out. They're still making some Blazers. So they're still making those. They've shut down certain models and sent all the computer chips they have to the most popular models. They can't make Chevy Blazers right now fast enough. They just can't. It's a very popular car. And I'll let you know why when I start driving it, because I'm really excited. It's really cool. And so they can't make them fast enough. That's where their chips are going. They're going to the Silverado pickups. With Ford, they're going to the F-150 pickups. Okay? So the Sierra and the Silverado with GM are getting the chips right now. The chips that they have, they're going to their biggest sellers. There's no slowdown in truck production. We're going to build these trucks. All right? But I think in the Ford here, they do the minivan, not the minivan, the Transit or whatever, the Transit Connect. And I think with Chevy, it's the Malibu, which is to be honest, it's a dying segment. Sedans are a dying segment worldwide in consumerism. Consumers aren't buying those cars like they used to. So they slow down the lesser models, and they've done that. But we've got all these people that aren't working right now, and we've got all these places saying, I wish we could find somebody to work. And I thought, okay, well, this is terrible. These people are out of work since February. And then I read, they're getting 75% of their pay to not work. Again, this is the same kind of thing as the government giving money away. I'm not bad-mouthing anybody that works on these lines or works for these plants, okay? You guys work harder than I do, all right? I really appreciate what you do. But I would say this, if you're a go-getter, I don't even understand this. So if you were out and you knew it was still going to be more weeks, it's going to wind up being months, you're getting 75% of your pay, and this is all because of COVID, right? The supply chain around the world, the computer chips aren't getting here. This is all COVID-related. Everything's COVID-related, right? So this is COVID-related. Why wouldn't you say, hey, sweetie, I'm getting 75% of what I normally make. I'm going to go get another job. There's jobs everywhere. We're going to make more money while this plant is closed than we've ever made before. We still have our health care. We have money coming in. I'm going to go take a job. I'm not going to sit here all day. I'm going to go work. I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to make more money, and this will be more than we've ever made. I don't understand why there aren't more people that think that way. I'm sure John over at Amazing Garage Floors would hire you. Call him. He's looking for great help. I'm sure he pays really well. That's skilled work. That's real work. He's going to pay you well to do garage floors. That seems like a perfect fit. And yet it doesn't happen. And the reason none of this happens, and the reason McDonald's has a sign up that says nobody wants to work anymore, and the reason that my buddies at Amazing Garage Floors or JT's in Harrisonville can't find help is because either the government is sending you money or you're on hold, right? You've been furloughed for now, but you're getting 75% of your pay. And as long as you're getting that, you just don't have much incentive to go grab a job unless you just want to crush it. And I, the longer I live, the fewer people I meet like that. Most people, we're creating a culture and a society of people that just want to get by and make sure that they're taken care of. I just want to live my life. I don't need to excel. I don't, and that, you know what? I wish I had a little more of this in me. I don't need a lot. I don't want for much. I like to travel. I like to go to games. I like to have money to spend. I like to do things. That was always the reason I work so hard. I wanted to have a little more. I wanted a little more, right? My car isn't 15 years old. My car is 6 years old, and I'm getting a new one. I want to be able to do that. I like that. I like a new car. That's great. I just don't see that many people like that anymore. And I think McDonald's was reflecting that with their sign that they had. Nobody wants to work anymore. That's sort of funny, and it's a generalization, and it's not entirely accurate, but there are signs of it everywhere. There's just signs of it everywhere. A couple of sports notes here to wrap things up. If you hear this podcast within the first 24 hours or so, Shohei Ohtani is here with the Angels, and he's unbelievable. This is the most valuable player in baseball, and it's not close. He's a starting pitcher and a DH. In game one of the series against the Royals, Ohtani had three hits. Royals lost 10-3. They've lost three out of four. Ohtani is also a starting pitcher. It's insane. The guy is an absolute freak. And I'm surprised more people don't talk about him. It's unbelievable what he's doing in baseball. And a column in the Kansas City Star is, and they're not alone, Kansas Athletics is really taking some heat from the left now, which is kind of funny. This is, we talk about black-on-black crime. This is left-on-left hate, okay? All right, leftist media people starting to hate on the University of Kansas is rich because it doesn't get much more liberal than KU. And so what are they mad about? Well, they hired Travis Goff as athletic director, and he's a white man, and so they're not very happy. Those in the media say no women or blacks have ever worked for Kansas as an athletic director. There are 52 women nationwide that are ADs. There are 55 blacks nationwide that are ADs. And any of those, according to the Star, is qualified to be the AD at Kansas because they're ADs, and Travis Goff had never been an athletic director. I agree that any of those, theoretically, is qualified to be at Kansas. Now, I don't know if we're talking about NCAA. I mean, this could be Division II. This could be small schools. It could be you could be at an all-black school, for example, which maybe you're not perfectly suited to being at a state university, which is much more diverse. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. I'm just saying you can't judge everyone here equally, but I understand the premise. They're an athletic director somewhere. They're qualified to be an athletic director at Kansas. You can give them a promotion, whatever. I get that. But that's not what a job hire is about. That's not what hiring an athletic director is about. And Doug Girard has done a lot of things wrong at Kansas. I think he's botched a lot in athletics. I'm not propping the man up. But you're going to be hard-pressed to find me somebody that is a better fit for Kansas than Travis Goff. He's from Kansas, grew up in Dodge City, went to KU, graduated there. He was working at Northwestern as the associate AD. His lifelong dream is to work for Kansas. He's part of the family. He's part of the fabric and the family of the university. The day he shows up to work, he's back home. There is no transition period. There is no, it's going to take me 18 months to know who the donors are, understand the history of the school, know what's happening. No. This isn't about, see, this is where liberals miss it every time. If Kansas wanted to go out and hire a woman or a black person to be the AD, that's fine if that's what they wanted to do. If they said, we just want someone to do that. But that doesn't make that person the best candidate. There's a difference between being a qualified candidate and being the best candidate. And I've yet to have anybody bring up somebody to me that's a better candidate than Travis Goff. Seems like a perfect fit for Kansas. This is how you do it. And Doug, it may be a mistake. Maybe Travis Goff is in over his head. Maybe he doesn't know it. I don't know. I don't know that much about him. What I know is his resume, background, and understanding of Kansas, and his willingness to come here when they're about to go on probation and be here through lean years so he can be here through good years down the road somewhere, speaks a lot about the man, how much he wants the job. He's never going to leave. Travis Goff, as long as Kansas will have him, Travis Goff's going to be a lifer. He's not going to leave Kansas. This is going to be his job. He wants this. So it's not about finding someone that's black or has different genitals that's qualified. It's about who's the best candidate. And Doug Girard made a decision that this is our best candidate. Now, I'll flip this around because this could be happening at Kansas. I've brought this up already. If Bill Self winds up going to the NBA after all this, even in, if it's a year down the road or 2 years down the road, if he decides to leave and Danny Manning isn't at the front of the line to be the head coach at Kansas, that's a whole different story. Because there's a guy that's been there, went to school there, coached there, lives here, understands everything about the school, is a huge part of the family, Hall of Famer, unbelievable, unbelievable connection between Danny Manning and Kansas basketball. I would think he would be the odds on front runner by a mile to be the next head coach. I'm not even sure why they'd consider anyone else. It would be a bad look. And if that day comes in the next few years and Danny Manning is, I think Bill Self should hire him on the staff right now. I think it's a no-brainer. Somebody has to coach the team while Bill Self is suspended. Who's that going to be? I think it should be Danny Manning. I think that'd be a great look for the school, and I think Danny Manning's qualified, and he's been a head coach, and everybody at Kansas loves him, and everyone knows him, and he's the perfect candidate. He's the perfect candidate to fill the spot on the staff. He's the perfect candidate to be the interim coach when Bill Self is suspended, and he's the perfect candidate to take over when Bill Self is gone. He's perfect in all those ways. And if that doesn't happen at Kansas, then I'll be lockstep with the star and all the liberals that something's going on here. Because then you would have the best qualified candidate is black. That's just the difference. That's the difference to me between the AD hire and what may happen with the basketball program as they go forward. But I, if I'm Doug Girard right now, and again, he's made a lot of mistakes, and I don't think he plays any power cards with Bill Self very often, I'm telling him right now, put Danny Manning on your staff. Get him in here. You've got an opening. Get him in here. Somebody's got to coach this team while you're not. That's coming. We're going to pay you to be suspended. They signed a contract. They know he's getting suspended, or they wouldn't have signed him into a contract that said, coach, we're going to pay you when you're suspended. You're going to need a head coach those games. Danny Manning should be that guy. And he should be back on this staff. And they should pay him well. And they should be thankful that he'll be there if Bill Self walks away. They should basically make him a Jayhawk for life. Danny Manning should be a Jayhawk for life right now. Come on back. Here's your job. And bigger things are down the road at some point. That would be real progress. So we'll see if that happens at Kansas. All right, there it is. Big addition. We covered a lot of stuff today on KKHI. Thank you so much for listening. This is the point where I always ask you to hit that follow, like, or subscribe button for free. If you listen to the podcast, please do that. I'd love for you to do that for me if you could. It helps a great deal with notifications and listeners. And a lot of you are sending in really cool stuff about conservative businesses. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. I'm making a list. I'm checking it twice. I'm going to read them all off. One of these days, I'm going to go through the list on the podcast. If you know conservative businesses or like-minded people that we should be supporting, if you have the option to spend your dollars there, let me know what those are. No category is sacred. Anything you got, okay? Any category of business or church or charity or anything you can think of, let me know what those are, and I'll compile the list. And somewhere down the road in a few weeks, we'll do a whole podcast on all those different places and what we can do to help them out. So there you have it. All right, KK Has Issues. If you want to become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com for $5 a month. Get the patron podcast. We'll be posting later on Tuesday the BTL 2.0 with Danny Klinkscale. That'll be fun as well. Thanks so much for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.